Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Impress your friends. Amaze your coworkers. Make your family proud. Here's what you need to know.
I'ma tell you what you need to know. I'ma tell you what you need to hear.
You need to know. That need to know is brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. And my buddy Joe Spiker and his great team at Easton Roofing are ready to come help you out right now. They got that roof. Watching the ice form up there when it gets cold. Know it's been a while. Worried you're about ready to have water or worse, ice and water come crashing into your house. Don't worry like that. Call Easton Roofing. Estimates are always free and suggestions. They're built on integrity. Let Easton Roofing educate you about every possible roofing solution for your specific home, your specific business. It's not about Easton Roofing. It's about your specific needs. Easton Roofing is an Angie's List Super Service Award winner. You can call Easton at 913-257-5426. See him online at eastonroofing.com. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing, integrity matters. All right, the big news today, all about the quarterback. Is he practicing or not? He was practicing today, so he continues to make his way through the concussion protocol. In fact, the practice list includes everybody going, except for there are four notes to be made. One, Le'Veon Bell and Willie Gay Jr. did not practice. Patrick Mahomes and Bashaud Breeland, Andy Reid termed it as they're progressing through the concussion protocol. So that's where we sit on the latest. I heard Curtis's mic go on, and I thought, okay, he wants to say
no,
something.
He was just cracking the mic, and the air conditioner here is a little loud. So.
Oh, okay. All right. No worries. No worries.
In case I wanted to add.
Uh-oh. Go. Well, I was like, breaking news? Is this
new? No.
Do I need to be... Okay, nope, we're all good. All right, so we'll press forward.
Patrick Mahomes has been traded.
This just in. Breaking news. Mahomes, gone. We will tell you a little bit about what the guys had to say. In fact, we'll let them tell you. We'll let Andy Reid talk to you. One of the things we heard Sean McDermott talk about when he was with the Eagles, how Andy Reid said, you got to pass to win. And that the NFL has really followed along with that mindset. I asked Andy, he's made a note about how much the NFL is now a passing league. And if that pushes him even further down the road, throwing even more and more and more to try and stay in front of everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I was kind of raised that way with it. But, you know, I understand the importance of the run game, too, in there. So there's got to be you've got to be efficient at both. But you've got to be able to throw the football. In today's world, you have to be able to do it. These kids are starting now when they're in little league football and working their way up. High schools are throwing, colleges are throwing. And so it's not a secret anymore that that's not a bad way to go. And this league is phenomenal at doing it. Some of the creativity and that you see right now in this league is really neat, you know, to know where it was and where it's at now.
And it's fun to hear him talk about it. He has, you know, stood watch on the league changing quite a bit, to be honest with you. I mean, it's evolved, and I think he's been a big part of what's evolved, what's made it evolve the way it has.
It's for a while it was, maybe even 5 years ago, you know, you got to throw to win the championship. Now, he said, you know, all these – part of the reason is that everyone seemingly is getting so much better at it. You really have to throw effectively just to be a winning team now. Yeah, I mean, there are very few exceptions of teams who even make the playoffs who can't throw the ball well.
Let's talk about the missed kicks. And I had this conversation. I know in Buffalo they're asking me, hey, is there an issue? Special teams, kicking game, is that going to be a problem? Is that a big edge for Buffalo? Dave Tobe was asked about Harrison Butker's two missed kicks against the Browns.
It was just an operational glitch that we had, you know, with the rotation of the ball. The laces came down in a weird spot. Not one time all year did that happen, or in practice for that matter. And it happened twice. And both of those kicks, we rotate in a different way. It's just an operational glitch that we cleaned it up. and he had a great week of practice, and he was on point this week. So we're good.
Operational glitch is a great term, by the way. I'm going to use that a lot. But do I understand you right? Like the hold spun the ball the wrong way, or what?
Okay,
what
exactly? You know, Winchester is so good as a snapper. He can count the rotations with his snap, where the laces never appear for him. You know, for okay. the hold. But in this case, that the laces appeared. Now there was a combination with the weather and this little bit short. Whatever we did there, we figured it out this week. But the laces showed up to where they were facing Butker, and then Tommy has to deal with, you know, getting them out of the way, which it's a matter of which way we're going to rotate the ball. So, you know, he rotated, you know, where Butker could see the laces for a longer period of time. That's not what we want to do. So we want to rotate it the opposite way, so it goes away. You know, I didn't want to get real technical with it, but I guess you forced me to it. But that's really what it is. That's why I just said it's an operational thing that we got it ironed out and fixed.
You talk about picky people, kickers. I don't even want to see the laces. Yes. You know, it's like the Ace Ventura pet detective. Laces out. Laces out.
I saw laces. Right? I can't cope.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what it is. All right, here's Harrison Butker. He was asked how those things affect a kicker.
You know, every kicker is different. But for me, I'm looking at the ground, the spot, basically, of where the holder's going to put the ball. And then once the ball's down, my eyes normally raise up and look at the sweet spot of the ball. So in a perfect world, that ball's still, and I can just hone in on the sweet spot and swing away. So if the laces are a little bit off, then the ball's going to be moving. But, you know, it's just been I've been very fortunate to have such a great operation the past couple weeks, so that when in the game, when the ball was moving, I just I didn't handle it well. And that's on me, because I do practice that during the week. Since our operation is so good, I do practice just seeing bad laces, seeing the ball moving, because at the end of the day, as the kicker, if the ball's on the ground, it's your job to make the kick. So when that ball's moving or whatever, or if it's perfectly still, you know, you got to make the kick. So we got a lot of good reps this week. And as I said, as a kicker, you got to be able to handle everything, you know, no matter what.
I don't mean to be petty. But, like, the problem was Townsend didn't spin the ball right, right?
That's basically it. A lot of words said by Harrison Butker and Dave Toll, but what it comes down to is one sentence you just said.
I mean, and that's okay. It happens. He's a young player, and you know, this is why you hang on to Dustin Colquitt for all those years, because you know he's going to pin the balls inside the 10 when he punts, and you know he's going to have the holds right. Like, this is part of it. And I'm going to tell you, I know there's a big conversation. I know the zone jokes around about, like, that Corey Anderson doesn't like Colquitt. I mean, you know, these are good teams.
Yeah.
Right? With good quarterbacks. There's no Jimmy Garoppolo waiting in the Super Bowl. Right, and Ryan Tannehill was playing at a very high level last year, and again this year. Josh Allen's playing at a higher level. Can we agree that certainly quarterback wise, they're going to have to go through more to win a championship this time?
I don't think there's any question. You've got two guys who are playing spectacular football now, and one guy who is playing pretty damn good and just happens to be the greatest postseason quarterback ever.
Yeah. So, I, you know, little things like this, hopefully they can get it tightened up, hopefully they can get it fixed, and that, you know, it took 17 weeks, but now it's going to be a finely tuned machine, and now Townsend's holds, you know, the snap hold placement are going to be just as good as it was for Colquitt. That's what it's been all about. Really, frankly, the divisional round, if you're going to be the one seed, usually is a team that's just there to fill out the card. And this year, you know, maybe more than ever with the extra team in there. And so you had all this time. Now they need to get it all right, because now it's nothing but the big boys left at this point.
I said last week after the first extra point, I said if that missed kick comes back to haunt the Chiefs, and something more important than that kick has gone wrong. That's not the case the next 2 weeks.
Yes. Yeah, they may very well need every kick to be good to get away with a win. All right, let's hear Steve Spagnuolo. Sam McDowell will be with us in our next segment. Ask Steve Spagnuolo if L'Jarius Sneed could be doing some different things this week with the uncertainty surrounding Bashaud Breeland and Rashad Fenton.
Yeah, you're pretty observant, Sam, because that's something we're dancing around right now. look, you like to have all your guys, all your bodies in the right spots this time of year. But we are going through some things that are a little bit in flux. We're a little uncertain in some spots. Hopefully it'll clear itself up by Sunday or certainly before that so we get guys ready. But it happens in the middle of the game, and we have to be prepared. And I think our assistant coaches do a terrific job. Dave Merritt and Sam Madison do a great job back there of rolling guys through. You know, we have a plan either way to what you're addressing, Sam, if certain guys can't go. And let's hope most of our guys can make it to the game.
Game plans are great when everybody's healthy. All the way through the game. But that's not the real NFL. And I think the most impressive thing about both sides of the ball for the Chiefs and what shows how well coached they are is things go wrong and they still win.
Yep.
You know, they shuffle DBs around and they still win. Tyrann Mathieu comes in, the game plans for him to kind of play center field. The corner goes down and now he's got to play the slot. You know, L'Jarius Sneed moves outside. You know, and that's amazing for a kid who's a fourth-round rookie that got no traditional offseason.
Yeah, I think that's one of the more amazing. I think he's destined to be a Pro Bowler within 2 years, and he's got the looks of an All-Pro.
Yeah. Really impressive what's going on in the coaching staff. Kudos all across the board. Sam Madison, the DB coach, doing a great job. Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator, doing a great job. And you know, Fenton practiced, so that's good news. He didn't play last week. He practiced today. And then Bashaud Breeland's making progress. So if they have all their DBs, I think it's all the more reason to like the Chiefs in this game. It gets a little bit tougher because the Bills do have a good deep receiving core, and they can beat you in a number of different ways. Starts with Stephon Diggs, but there's more to it than just him. I mean, it's a good all-around core. Knox didn't play in the last game, the tight end. He's been coming on here of late. And I think Madison out of the backfield, that's where, you know, I was asked by Sal Capaccio how I would attack the defense. I said, well, you know, maybe it's been shored up and they've just fixed it. But last year they had problems at times covering running backs out of the backfield. And I think Steve Spagnuolo expects that because he pointed out Singletary, the running back's pretty good, and we're going to have to be ready for him. You know, he called him out. I think they're aware of it, but that's one of the ways I think they might be tested. They've been much better at handling backs out of the backfield for, you know, at least since the first game against the Chargers. Right, they've been a lot better since then.
Yeah,
for sure.
And probably down right, a guy as well at the linebacker position, Gay.
Yeah. Going to be without Willie Gay Jr. for sure. It looks like Eric Bieniemy talking about Darrell Williams, who stepped in and did a nice job. Asked about the fact that with all the other running backs that have been brought in, Darrell Williams just still kept working, came up big.
My man D Dub, Dirty as everybody calls him. Dirty's a smart, intelligent football player. He always have been that way. He's a guy that can line up and play in two positions. He can play at the running back position. He can also play the fullback position. He's a very smooth operating customer. He's very smooth through the holes. The thing that he has always been told, and he understands this because it had a chance to come to light a few times since he's been here, make sure you continue working and only worry about the things that you can control. And when you're presented with that moment, you make sure that you make it happen. I told him yesterday, that I was very proud of his performance, not because of the numbers that he put up. We knew that he was very capable of that. In fact, he could put up even more better numbers. The thing that I was proud of is his ability to persevere through all the adversity that he's been through, because he really hasn't been given that opportunity to just go out there and shine. Like I know every player has, you know, when they envision themselves playing in this league. So I'm very proud of the player, but more importantly, very proud of the person for just seeing it through.
Darrell Williams getting the job done for the Chiefs. We'll see Clyde Edwards-Helaire practicing. They get deeper, right? You'd love to have both of them because then you've got the 1-2 punch. Clyde Edwards-Helaire practicing today. He last week went on Wednesday, then out Thursday and Friday. He went today in practice, so that's a good sign for the Kansas City Chiefs. A couple other NFL notes. Old friend alert, Colts hiring offensive coordinator, hiring Colts offensive coordinator Nick Sirianni. Remember Todd Haley always talking about Nick Sirianni?
Yeah, and Dick Vermeil.
Yep. He is now a offensive coordinator in the NFL. I think that's I'm not an offensive coordinator. Excuse me, head coach. He was an offensive coordinator. He's now a head coach in the NFL, and we'll see how he can do with the Eagles. How about the incestuous nature, right? They hired Doug Peterson. The Colts hire away Doug Peterson's offensive coordinator, so the Eagles hire away – in Frank Reich. So then the Eagles hire away Frank Reich's offensive coordinator, Nick Sirianni.
It's something, man.
Just kind of funny how that ends up.
Every year.
39 years old, becomes the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Dwayne Haskins, the former first-round pick out of Ohio State with the Washington football team, he agrees to a one-year deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers, so they will take their shot at trying to turn him around. College football news, Mizzou has hired Steve Wilks as their defensive coordinator, former head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, well-respected defensive mind. He now joins the Mizzou football staff. NCAA placed Notre Dame's football program on probation for 1 year today. Former assistant coach had impermissible off-campus recruiting contact with a high school player in January of 19. Tennessee named Central Florida's Danny White as its new athletic director. That's not the old quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, if you're wondering. Different guy, by the way, Danny White, being hired by Tennessee as their new athletic director. And Michael Porter Jr. is nearing a return and is listed as questionable to play Friday night against the Phoenix Suns. And his career was really starting to take off this year, so hopefully back on the court soon for him. We're back at it with Sam McDowell here in a moment. Remember, Henhouse has everything you need for the big game. That's right, I mean everything. The best selection of party trays. You can go to the delicatessen and grab some dinner tonight if you like. You know, every single night of the week, they have dinner for four, right? Different entrees that you can go check out. They come with an entree, come with a choice of sides. They come with a salad, rolls, and desserts. I don't know what you're waiting for, but why cook tonight when Henhouse has got the whole meal just waiting for you? Each and every day, a different meal. Today, you can go get the Tippins pot pie, chicken or turkey, garden salad, gourmet dinner rolls, creme cake. It is yours, all for $20. They got a different one every single day of the week. It's at your neighborhood Henhouse. See all these specials and more at henhouse.com.
The program with Soren Petro.
You ever quote anything besides statistics, Vulcan?
Yes, but philosophy and poetry are not appropriate here.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. He's just what you'd expect from a man who covers the NFL. 6'4", 300 pounds, fiery, but he does know the Chiefs as well as anyone. He's the Chiefs beat writer for the Kansas City Star, Sam McDowell, on the program.
Yes, indeed. Sam McDowell, brought to you by our friends at Henhouse. Take advantage right now. All kinds of great specials. You can always find all the specials right there at henhouse.com. The app, a great way to get started as well. Get stocked up for the big game. Don't forget about Harry's Brewery. All the national and craft beers. You can get it right now at your neighborhood Henhouse in the Harry's Brewery section. In fact, right now, great specials on the Corona Hard Seltzer. That's right. Get the Corona Hard Seltzer. I think it's two 12-packs for $27, if I'm not mistaken, because I was looking at that, because that is one of the things we stock up here, 0 grams of carbs. It is a great way to watch your waist with the Corona Hard Seltzer, and it's on special right now at the Harry's Brewery, along with all kinds of great specials back at the meat counter, great seafood, and as I said, party trays galore. The delicatessen is your spot. Yeah, they got all the chips and everything you'd expect, and always great specials on those as well, crackers, but some of the meat trays, sushi trays, all kinds of wing trays, boneless, bone-in and boneless wing trays. They will get you ready for the game like no one else. It's at your local Henhouse Market. You can go see my buddy Bob, who manages 135th and Metcalf. Great guy, doing a great job up there at your neighborhood Henhouse. Let's talk a little Chiefs football. Sam McDowell of the Kansas City Star joins us here on our T-Mobile guest line. Sam, how are you, sir?
Hey, what's going on, Soren?
Getting ready for this game, getting excited for this game, and I'll ask you this, something we talked about last segment. Do you agree if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, the last two steps will have been harder than the last two steps last year?
Let's see. Well, this game for sure. I don't necessarily think that playing Tampa would be more difficult than playing the 49ers last year.
Okay. Jimmy Garoppolo?
it's more about the matchup than it is about thinking that team is better than another team. The 49ers, I felt like, matched up in a certain way, and that specifically being they could pressure the Chiefs with only four guys and really pressure them consistently. And I don't know that Tampa could do that. I'm sure you've mentioned this a lot. I've always felt like that's the formula to give the Chiefs the most trouble, and San Francisco had that last year.
I think that's a fair point. Yeah, I think that's a fair point. This go round, we'll worry about that when the Chiefs get there. This go round though, with the Buffalo Bills, they're red hot. They're playing at a high level. You know, everyone keeps talking about how much better are the Bills now than when they played back in Week 6. Is there any chance that everyone's sleeping on the fact that the Chiefs are better now than they were in Week 6?
I mean, of course. I mean, you've got a lot of guys. I mean, L'Jarius Sneed didn't play in that game. You've got him back against, you know, a talented wide receiver core. And, of course, the team just improves over the course of the season anyway. And specifically, I think this defense has gotten better. The pass rush is maybe starting to show up a little bit more than what we saw early on this season, kind of a red flag for this team over the first, eight, nine games. I think the Chiefs are a better team. And the Bills are obviously a better team, specifically defensively, than what those first teams met the first time. But Josh Allen was pretty red hot coming into that Chiefs game last time, other than, you know, the slip up against the Titans. And he was really pretty poor in that first meeting.
Yeah, but why do we think that Steve Spagnuolo doesn't just have the answer for Josh Allen?
Well, I think it's a possibility. I mean, I don't know if I would say the answer for him, but I would say maybe he's got a way that he feels like he can make it tougher on Josh Allen than some of the other teams did.
I think one of the things that the Chiefs have, that and they didn't have, you know, everyone keeps talking about the linebacker, that they're 12-0 when they have him, and he didn't play against the Chiefs. Well, you know, L'Jarius Sneed didn't play against the Bills either. And the Chiefs are 11-0 when they have him. So,
and they were, 11-0 last year with Eric Fisher? I mean, there's certain records like that that you can always put into play. I mean, certainly you want your guys playing. But I still think Edmonds is their best linebacker, even with, you know, the fully healthy core there.
Yeah, I agree, and so do the grades of some independent folks who would tend to agree with that assessment. I think this is a good matchup. Curtis gave the stat that there have been 50 times in the last 10 years that teams that played each other in the regular season met again in the postseason. And overall, Curtis, it was 32-18. The team that won the first game was 32-18 in the second game.
Yes.
If the team that won the first game played at home, that number goes to 23-9.
Yep.
A 72%.
The Chiefs were on the other end of that twice last year.
Yes.
Not the home aspect, but they lost the first game and beat two teams that they lost to in the playoffs.
They lost to Houston at home and then played at home. And then they lost to the Titans on the road and then played at home. But you're right. They weren't the team that won. We'd have to go back and look at, you know, what was – and that'd probably be an interesting one. Lose to a team and then play them a second time in the playoffs at home, which means you were actually the better team that got upset. You know, this one is kind of like, hey, you proved to be the stronger team. And this is one where the Chiefs won on the road. Curtis, do you have is it on a list where you could eyeball and see how many times?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out where I put it. It'll be just a second. I'll find it.
Yeah, no. You'll think of it. We'll get that. We'll have that before we get done with
Sam. It's actually an interesting point.
Yeah. Because I was thinking about it.
I have to cringe anytime you say we'll get that to you.
because Andy Reid's famous line. Yeah. Hey, Coach Sanders. Yeah, we'll get that to you. And sometimes he says, I'll get that to you, which I always wonder, you know, because I leave after the press conference. You guys a lot of times will stay and are working there in under normal times. Does Andy bring down a handful
he does not
of
get that.
Injury
he does
reports
not get
and hand
to
them
us.
To you? No.
Okay. He texts us all individually, just the updated injury report. Just want to let you know this is how many snaps Patrick went out there today.
Yeah, he's very giving in that way, very giving in how he likes to get that information out there. I do think that there, you know, L'Jarius Sneed makes a big difference. It'll certainly make a big difference if Rashad Fenton and Bashaud Breeland comes through the protocol. And they have all four corners because the Bills like to play four wide. And the Chiefs are one of the few teams that, like, you don't really You know, I know Charvarius Ward got beat a couple of times in the Browns game, but he was really in position. He's never out of position. Like, we've seen corners in this town get beat where they're, like, three steps behind a guy. Ward just, like, is there but doesn't get his head around, you know? So he's still in pretty good position. I still think that he's got the capability of having a big day, right, getting the head around and coming up with a pick. But, like, I do think that's one of the keys. If the Chiefs' corners are all out on the field – then I think it gets a lot harder for L'Jarius Sneed. Or, excuse me, for Josh Allen.
Yeah, specifically in the slot, because, you know, Stephon Diggs is, of course, the key to that passing offense. Led the league in yards, led the league in receptions. The only guy to have more yards this year than Travis Kelce. But Cole Beasley is a major third down target for Josh Allen. And if they've got L'Jarius Sneed matched up against him, it's one of the more underrated stories for the Chiefs team this season, is the slot was a little bit of an issue for him in the first half of the season. They get Bashaud Breeland back, so when L'Jarius Sneed comes back from his collarbone injury, they move him to the slot, and he's just been really, really good there. And that's not a guy that they had the last time these two teams played. You know, he's got the best grade of any rookie guy in the secondary all season. And he's still – I saw this on Pro Football Focus over the weekend. Of all the secondary players still alive among these four teams in the playoffs, he's the highest-rated cornerback. Let me correct that. I think he's allowed the lowest passer rating of any cornerback left in the playoffs.
How much better? I mean, you mentioned the Bills' defense being better. Let's switch over to that side of the ball. How much better do you think it is than the Chiefs' defense? I mean, statistically speaking, they're right. You know, can see each other. Buffalo's two spots up from the Chiefs, who I think are at 16, aren't they? And then Buffalo maybe at 14. Points allowed, the Chiefs allowed 22.6. The Bills allowed 23.4. I mean, you know, a lot of times you can say, well, both teams' strength is the offense, so whoever's defense plays better is going to win. Okay, that's fine. But or is it really just a matter of this one should get going up and down the field, and it's whichever offense can score the most points?
Yeah, I mean, I still think both these teams are going to rely on their offense to win this game. But, you know, over the last eight games, the Bills have allowed, I think it's 17.1 points per game, you know, during this eight-game winning streak, including the playoffs. Obviously, that they completely shut down Lamar Jackson last week. It's a little bit reminiscent of what the Chiefs did last year. Once they got their guys back, they sort of figured out what works best for them. So that, I think, is a little bit of a different matchup than what the Chiefs were going in the first time they played these guys. But still, you know, the big question mark for me, or the big question this entire game, is what are the Bills going to try and do defensively? I think with the assumption that Mahomes is the guy on Sunday, it was such a weird thing that the Bills gave up 245 rushing yards the first time they played somebody, lost a game, and after the game the coach was like, yeah, I kind of liked our strategy. I kind of liked what we did after that game. I'd probably do that again. Well, now he's facing the same team again. Is he going to only put four and five guys in the box and just dare the Chiefs to run the ball at all costs? Or is he going to switch up a little bit and do something different to try and prevent the Chiefs from just running all over him? I think that's the biggest question going into this game on Sunday.
I think he may start it that way, but I think he'll come out of it really quick, because if he gives up 200 yards on the ground again, the self-preservation mode will kick in, and it'll be like, oh, I don't want to be skewered in the post-game press conference. We got to do something different.
I think that's a possibility, mostly, Seren, because the Chiefs have seen it. I wonder if the Chiefs had not seen this, if that is what we would see on Sunday. And, of course, I don't know that we'd all be guessing that's what we're going to see, because right now the reason we're saying that is because we've got the evidence from a Week 6 matchup. I wonder if the reason he might back out of it is because he knows that the Chiefs have to be preparing for that, because they already saw it the last time. But I know this is our favorite topic to discuss. I always talk about the fact that there's going to be some games where the Chiefs have to run the ball. And I know that the passing is everything for this team. And when you look it up, the Chiefs won games this year where they rushed for 36 yards against the Panthers. They rushed for 50 against the Jets. So in back-to-back games, they rushed for 86 yards, won two games, and scored 68 points. So I'm not by any means saying that the running game is the barometer of this team's success. But I've always said there's some teams they're going to play against where they have to run the ball successfully, and I still think this is going to be one of those rare exception games.
And that may very well be. I won't argue that point, because I think teams, we've seen the strategy, though, of saying, okay, you know, if you're going to beat us on the run, you're going to have to execute a lot more times in a row than if you're going to beat us because we get crafty.
Exactly, yeah.
Trying to get after Patrick Mahomes. I do think that the toe injury of Patrick Mahomes might get a defensive-minded coach a little frisky about, well, he can't move as well. Maybe we should get after him. I wonder if that'll play a role. I want to go back to the point you made about how many they're giving up in this win streak. Let's take a look at the opponents in the win streak. Chargers, sure. At Niners, Steelers, when they were falling apart, but the Bills were part of the team that made them fall apart. At the Broncos, at the Patriots, versus the Dolphins, but they gave up 26 points to the Dolphins, okay? And they gave up 24 points to the 49ers. And then the two playoff games, giving up 24 to the Colts. By the way, the Colts shunning a field goal, going for it on fourth down and throwing into the end zone and just missing a touchdown, going for a two-point conversion, not getting it, leaving 4 points off the board. That easily could have been 28. The Ravens, they did a hell of a job. You know, I think it's a little bit, you know, they've answered the question that it's not just schedule-driven, right? Because that was one of the things the Chiefs had won six in a row going into the postseason. And everyone's like, yeah, but none of the teams were any good. All right, well, the Chiefs proved that, no, they're fine, right, because they dusted off the, you know, the three playoff wins. And the Bills are kind of proving that as well. But this will be the proof. Beat this team. Hold this team down. And I'll go, and we can say, okay, yeah, the Bills are last year's Chiefs rolling into the Super Bowl. But this is the game where they're really going to be challenged like they haven't been challenged from any of those other teams. So I'm not ready to call this Bills defense great.
I think that's fair. You know, I will say, and this is another reason why it reminds me a little bit of the Chiefs last year, I do think they have some sort of name recognition, some guys that you should be able to rely on defensively at all three levels of their defense that prove that they should be more of what we're seeing lately than what we saw early in the season.
I think that's fair. Yeah, I think that's a fair point. All right, so what – first of all, best guess, are all these guys that practice today you think going to be ready to go for this game?
I would be surprised if Clyde Edwards-Helaire isn't available in some form on Sunday. I would be really shocked if Patrick Mahomes is not available on Sunday. Of course, you know, I say that with the caveat that it's a head injury. You never know. Symptoms can appear late. That sort of thing. But, you know, if this was any other injury with Patrick Mahomes, if this was an ankle injury he was coming back from, every sign would point us to saying, okay, this guy's going to be out there on Sunday. Because it's a head injury, we should be more cautious in saying something like that. I get it. But I would be surprised if he's not out there. I do wonder about Sammy Watkins. I'm interested to see what kind of workload he's able to put in Friday. So that's probably the biggest question mark for me. And, of course, Le'Veon Bell missing a Thursday practice. And Thursday practice is the hardest one to miss and play on Sunday. I wonder about his availability as well.
Yeah. Has he gone LeSean McCoy? I mean,
I think he's dealing with a little bit of that injury that we saw. What week was that? Was that week 16 against the Falcons that he came out? And now all of a sudden his knee's swelling again. But also, of course, there's the combination of he's been passed on the depth chart by Darrell Williams, and now, you know, if Clyde Edwards-Helaire's playing, is he really a guy you need? He doesn't play special teams. Can you really dress four running backs? I don't think so.
Yeah, I think part of it. I think it's the injury, but I also think they got him in, and it's like no. I mean, how many times do we hear Andy Reid like, oh, he's a bright guy, but it takes time to get to know the blocking. And it's like, no, I'm not buying it. Like, I think they got him in here, and they're like, no, I think the guy's done. You know,
there's been, of course, we all remember the first game, I think it was, that the Le'Veon Bell played. Maybe it was the second, actually. But it's in Denver, and he doesn't get his head around in time, and Mahomes takes a sack because of it. There was actually a similar play last week of that. And, I, of course, without knowing the calls, without knowing the assignments, it's hard to put the blame on him. But I still wondered if there actually is a disconnection there with some certain calls. And by calls, I mean some protection calls.
How impressive was Darrell Williams?
You know, he brings a different element than I think that they have in their backfield, which is a guy that just gets it and goes. You know, he doesn't wait on the hole to emerge. He just says, you know, if I hit somebody, I hit somebody, but I'm going to try and get 2 yards after I hit that guy. And, you know, I've long thought, it's been 2 years now that I've thought, why don't they use this guy on third and one? They don't have a running play on third and one other than what we saw, you know, the quarterback get hurt on. They've got to get a little bit cute on third down because it's their most successful play on third and short and fourth and short. This is a guy that could bring you just the traditional way of getting short yardage. That's always the role I've envisioned him in. And right now, with the way this team plays, that's the type of running back that I think you need, not somebody who wants to try and get 7-8 yards on every play, but a guy that's not going to get you negative plays, that he's going to consistently get you 3, 4, 5 yards on every carry.
Eric Eager from PFF calls it low self-esteem running backs. And that now he's been beaten by George, his partner, into coming up with a better one. And I can't remember. He's called them low self-esteem running backs or something. I can't remember where he came up to it. But just basically that, you know, guys that every week can't feel like, oh, I'm good, I'm on the roster, right? They got to do all the little things. It's like, okay, I'm not Barry Sanders. I know I'm not going to juke everybody. So, I'm going to take what is there, and I'm going to lower my head, and I'm going to get every inch I can because I'm probably not popping the 75-yard run. So I'm going to get everything I can, but I'm going to know the offense. I'm going to block. I'm going to do all the little things because that's what I have to do to be on this roster. And, you know, his point is that, like, you know, always passing is the most important part, but – you know, for the running backs, you got to do all those little things. You got to help out catching the ball. Don't drop it. Like, how much did Nick Chubb crush Cleveland last week with a couple of those drops? I mean,
it was three drops.
They were killers. They were killers.
Yeah.
And Williams doesn't do that. And so, yeah, Chubb will make some more plays. And yes, you would definitely rather have Chubb than Darrell Williams at the same paycheck. But as soon as Chubb has to be paid at the upper ends of the stratosphere, and Darrell Williams is still chugging along down towards the veteran minimum, well, you know, Darrell Williams plus the two extra football players, you're better off with Darrell Williams.
You know, it's not the same sort of length of trajectory, but, of course, Damian Williams was playing behind Kareem Hunt, and they didn't have a timeshare when Damian Williams was playing behind Kareem Hunt. And he was the same sort of guy that came in on third downs and his job was to play mistake-free football. That's how you're going to be on the field, is if you don't make mistakes. And sure enough, the opportunity opens up for him, and the guy's ready to go. Darrell's obviously a much different player than Damian, but a little bit similar there and waiting your turn. Eric Bieniemy actually talked about, you know, the fact that he told Darrell Williams yesterday that he was proud of him because he knew he had fought through adversity, and specifically that adversity was not being on the field as much as he thought he should be on the field.
Curtis,
yeah,
I think you got the stat wrong because
now he works.
So the winning the first game on the road.
Oh,
and
I didn't.
Home and...
No, I haven't set it up to where I can yet to where I can break down where the first game was. It's just the teams that won on the road, then going on the road in the postseason. Won the regular season game, then went on the road.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I'm looking for the Chiefs scenario.
I didn't go quite that far into it. That's going to take a little time.
Okay,
I'll have it for tomorrow.
We'll have it for tomorrow, Sam. So just like Andy Reid,
I'm not coming back for it.
You'll be listening. Come on. We know we're what inspires your writing. Trust me. We know you'll be listening. We're talking to Sam McDowell. He's with us on our T-Mobile guest line, brought to you by our friends at Hen House. Everything you need for the big game is at your neighborhood Hen House. So get stocked up today, Sam. Eric Bieniemy. You know, he certainly handled it, I thought, with a lot of grace today. You know, and he got the question he always gets. He doesn't want to answer it. We know he doesn't want to answer it. We're obligated, I think, to ask the question. You know, are you hearing anything about, you know, frustration or, you know, anything along those lines? I mean, there is a kind of an interesting situation developing in the sense that Mike Kafka's name coming up with the Seattle offensive coordinator's job. You know, this could be a different looking staff one way or another. You know, what are you hearing anything? You got any gut feeling that tells you how this is going to go? I don't think Eric Bieniemy is going to be the Texans coach. Do you?
I think that's his best. Of course, now it's of course his best shot because it's the only opening remaining. But I thought after Deshaun Watson got involved, that's Houston Texans' best way to smooth over that situation is to hire the guy he wants to hire. Now, should you let your quarterback choose your head coach? No. But should you let him choose him if he's a qualified candidate and, you know, it's a tiebreaker? Absolutely. And I think that they've have a situation where they can smooth things over with their franchise quarterback, and what better way to do it than hire Eric Bieniemy? So I'm more optimistic about his chances there than I was going in on any of these other vacancies. But, you know, I mean, to be frank, I'm tired of talking about this, so I can't imagine how tired Eric Bieniemy is about talking about this for 3 years now. I mean, what else can he say different than what he's told us for the last 3 years? Now, you know, we talk to him every week. I think that possibly gives you a little bit of a sense of how he might interview. You know, I think at this point, though, everybody is trying to search for a reason why Eric Bieniemy is not having a job. And when you can't find something that sticks, I think you have to go back to the reason a lot of people are probably afraid to admit, and that's that Eric Bieniemy is a black man trying to get a head coaching job in the NFL.
Yeah, I've given my spiel about how I think the next step for the NFL, if what they really want to do is help black coaches, is they need to put out there publicly. Because I if you say, oh, we're going to tell the coach, how do we know? Like, publicly, and I think other coaches not involved, like younger coaches, need to hear why Eric Bieniemy didn't get the job so that they make sure that they check whatever box on the resume it is the coaches are looking for. And so
go ahead. Well, I completely agree with that. And, you know, if this was Eric Bieniemy's first turn in the cycle, all of that would make a lot of sense. The fact that he got feedback 2 years ago, applied it to last year, got more feedback last year from multiple jobs every time. Now he had six opportunities to put himself out there this year, applying all that feedback that he's had for the last two cycles. Eric Bieniemy's a smart guy. He's not going to ignore the advice and the feedback he's gotten for why he maybe didn't get a job last time. So what's left for him to adjust at this point?
I think he has adjusted a lot. I think there are things, you know, being a coach that's still coaching and not being able to start the job, that hurts. Not having worked with quarterbacks, that hurts. Not calling plays, that hurts. I think and some past, you know, indiscretions when he was a young player and a young coach, I think that can ding him. And I can buy that he interviewed poorly a couple of years ago. Right, because I thought he wasn't smooth at the podium. I remember when I asked him around this time in 2018, you know, hey, like, you know, you were carried, and I don't think he wants to carry the flag. You know, I think he just wants to coach football. Like, he doesn't want to have to be the guy that is leading the charge through the door for every black coach out there. He just wants to get his fair shake at being a head coach and coach football, and I get that. He's a reluctant leader, but he is a leader, whether he likes it or not. He's the guy with the best resume right now for that job, and he has to carry that flag. He doesn't get a choice. It's being stuffed down the back of his shirt, and it's not going anywhere. And I think, you know, when I asked him that, everyone loved the answer, and it was a great answer. He goes, look, I don't mean to be an a-hole here. And he didn't say a-hole, though. He just said it. But, you know, I'm here to get ready for this playoff game and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, you know, if you're an owner, like, that's not really the guy they want out front, you know? And I'm not saying and I think that kind of thing is also what makes him a leader. Maybe they should. Had Eric Bieniemy won two Super Bowls, and he'd be the most colorful guy around. They'd love it. They would love all that. But when you're trying to get the job, they're like, coupled with all these other things, what do we got? So I believe the league and all these jobs that were open owe him an explanation as to why he didn't get it. I think they owe every other young black coach out there an explanation why he didn't get it so that they can prepare and put together the resume they need to actually get the job. I just think it's ridiculous. All right, let's get to our final four real quick. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. Sam, if you have an urgent orthopedic or sports injury, the University of Kansas Health System has extended weekday hours to see you quickly. Request an appointment at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine. We'll move quickly here. Did you watch the inauguration, yes or no?
Yes, I did.
All right, very good. He's up on current events. When does Eric Bieniemy get a head coaching job? What year?
To be honest, I kind of have him a little bit of a leader in the clubhouse for this Texans job. I think there's a little bit of optimism in the fact that the Texans haven't filled that vacancy yet.
Okay. Are you binge watching anything right now?
Yeah, I am actually. Fargo.
Ah, okay.
Please no
I've heard
spoilers,
good things.
Please no spoilers because I'm about 4 years behind on it.
Okay. I need to check that out, too. I've got a bunch of buddies that tell me I need to watch it. All right, and finally, give me your prediction on the game. Who wins? What score?
I think that the Chiefs win about a 30-27 game.
30-27 Chiefs. That's what he's got. He's got KC 30-27. We'll see if he's right. Sam, great stuff as always, buddy. We appreciate it. Thanks so much. Enjoy the games. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Hey, thanks, guys.
You bet. Sam McDowell from the Kansas City Star. We'll take a break. When we come back, we will give you the kicker here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Don't forget Hen House. We'll give you everything you need for the big game. You want to get some grilling done? Great. Do it. They got everything you need. Their award-winning meat counter, 85% lean ground chuck, ground fresh several times each day, just $3.79 a pound. How about some fresh, never-frozen chicken breasts? They're only $3.99 a pound. That's right, at your neighborhood Hen House. They have everything you could possibly want included. How about some steaks? You want to get some steaks on the grill? Talking about certified Hereford beef. How about a filet mignon, just $17.99 a pound. Ribs, you know, smoke some ribs. Pork loin baby back ribs, they're just $4.99 a pound. It's all at your neighborhood Hen House.
The Program with Soren Petro.
Do the show, bitch.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're almost done for the day, but there's just a few more things we'd like to share.
But there's still more.
Here's the kicker.
Here's the kicker of this whole thing.
On the Program.
But first, a good sense into the hour answer. How many AFC Championship games have gone to overtime? The answer, 2. Chiefs, Pats in 2018, Browns, Broncos in 86. Both games won by the road team. 6 OT games in the NFC. Home teams there, just 2-4.
Good sense what we were playing for. You can get it right now with the app. Easiest way, save your favorite orders, a couple of clicks, and you are going. Put it on ASAP, and they'll have it ready for you in 20 minutes, maybe 25 tops. They'll deliver as well. GoodSenseSubs.com and the app. I want to thank all the folks at Hen House. Don't forget, everything you need for the game, they got it. Their party trays are out of this world, whether it's crackers and cheese, sushi, wings trays. It's absolutely phenomenal. The best, like, seven-layer dip around, it's right there at your neighborhood Hen House. They have you covered beginning to end. If you want to get some meat on the grill, of course, their award-winning meat counter is always there for you. And don't forget, great seafood selections as well. It's all at your neighborhood Hen House. They even got dinner for you tonight. Go by every single night. They got a different dinner for four, complete dinner for four, for just $20. It's all at the delicatessen at your neighborhood Hen House. Back at it tomorrow at 2. We'll see you there.